Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Today with a recurring guest, Sirte Pihala. How are you, Sirte?
I'm good, thank you, Greg. And thank you for inviting me again. It's such a pleasure to be on your show.
Oh, it's quite easy to invite you again and again because you are doing a lot of incredible research. Today we are going to speak about machine customer are coming. And I know that you published some research. Could you please elaborate on it? And then we go directly into this topic.
Yes, of course. So in the beginning of this year, I published actually a book called Customer Experience 5 with a team of other customer experience professionals from around the world. And in that book, I wrote about machine customers, digital assistants as well. And now, based on that book, we decided to make this piece of research where we, it was a really practical piece where we then researched about 40 different companies here in Finland and about their level of service towards machine customers or digital assistants, as I like to call them. And what we did was that we had this created persona digital assistant called Assi that we sent over to do all kinds of tasks for this imaginary family of four called the Vuononlehto family. And she was then browsing sites for finding information and based on different tasks that we gave her, she was booking in the healthcare sector, she was booking dental care for people who, or this family member who was a little bit scared about dentists and she needed to find somebody to take care of that customer. And other things that she would do were making bookings to hotels and finding about cruises from Finland to Sweden for the family. And one of them use cases was about in the finance and banking sector, trying to find a good way to invest 10,000 euros, for instance.
And thank you very much.
Sorry, that piece of research, what it told us really was that companies are not really there yet. They don't see the invisible market that is out there for them.
I think what you are saying, it's really interesting, and let's deep dive into this topic. I can really empathize with the dentist story because I have exactly the same, let's say, issue. And I know that it's strange, it's psychological, but that's the reality. And I think these machines can help us and support us in our life. First of all, where we can find this piece of research?
You can go online and go to machinecustomers.fi. And it's downloadable completely for free. And it really acts as a playbook for this coming era of machine customers. So I definitely urge you all to go and have a look and read. Most of the findings that we found that were these barriers or this minefield for us to do any business with companies was the kind of things that would be usability issues also for us human customers. So it's definitely worth a look to improve your usability for anyone.
Thank you. And to the audience, you will find also this link in the show notes and on the CX Goalkeeper website. Let's discuss really. You are speaking about machine customer. You are speaking about digital assistant. Let's say also myself, I could think about Alexa. I could think about other ones, but what you are sharing and in what you find out in your analysis is a bit much more. And also the development of these machine customers are a bit further. Could you explain in simple words what is a machine customer and digital assistant?
A machine customer or a digital assistant is autonomous systems that can act on behalf of human users to complete these kinds of tasks that are quite mundane or everyday tasks. So making purchases or interacting with businesses. And they can independently initiate and complete these transactions if they are able to use APIs, but also through their capabilities of generative AI, so natural language. I think that machine customers are kind of coming the next form of agentic AI that we will be seeing. So all the big companies are currently putting out their different versions of frameworks for agentic AI. And these digital assistants are really for your personal use, for your personal AI, from the perspective that I am looking at them. But in B2B client kind of business, you could also be utilizing a digital assistant too. So it's not kind of scoped into only consumer business as such. A lot of CX professionals talk about, when they talk about agents, they might instantly think about a concept of like customer service representatives, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about, first of all, the business side of things in the sense that the business would be providing some kind of agent digital form to serve their customers. But we're talking about these digital assistants that the human customers are sending themselves to do their errands. I don't know if that helps you, but that's kind of how I see them.
It's really interesting because in this point is, and in this discussion is about the other side. It's myself as a consumer, as a customer, trying to execute tasks. I don't know, an example, I could ask my digital assistant to buy me a new pairs of shoes, or I could ask to my digital assistant to book an doctor appointment or dentist appointment, as you're saying. I'm hoping not dentist appointment, but that's a different thing. And then you also already shared in some articles that these digital assistants will be able also, for example, to book vacation, not only to select the where to go, but really to support you throughout the journey of going to vacation. Perhaps you mentioned that several times. Could you please share this example? Because I think this is really mind-blowing how quick the technology is evolving, but also how this technology can support us as user, as consumer, as people willing to achieve something.
Well, for instance, I have myself about, I don't know, 20, 30, like a few dozen different digital assistants that do different things and tasks for me. So the one that I'm currently mostly using is a digital assistant that actually takes our family's food allergies and then creates meal plans for us and then goes on and suggests some recipes for us to do and does the whole meal plan for the week for whatever number of days I ask them to. Then he reminds me that, or it, they, I don't know how to, what's the pronomen is for this digital assistant. But anyway, he helps me by reminding me that, okay, today's the day that you're usually going grocery shopping. So here's your shopping list for groceries. Please go on and do your shopping because it's physical foodstuffs. But I am looking into integrating that as soon as we have open APIs with our online groceries stores, that so that I could just send over the shopping list and have the foodstuffs delivered to us, maybe by a robot that from our nearest shop.
This is really interesting, but to make it a bit more tangible, You are an expert in this field. If you're speaking about a digital assistant, what I could think about are this custom GPT. It means we are using ChatGPT, we are asking questions and so on, and then we can create a specific custom GPT for a specific topic. But what you're sharing is much more than only this one. Could you please give an idea how these agents are created or how you created these agents?
Well, I myself actually am working to create them through these custom GPTs because OpenAI is actually currently the only provider of LLMs that is providing this possibility to actually give the tools to your agents through natural language. So I don't need any coding skills to do that. So I just create a GPT and tell it that, okay, here's the API schema in open API format. So that's an open format, nothing to do with OpenAI as such. So don't mix those two terms. And when once I put the schema there, then it just uses its brain and calls those functions or tools whenever I need my assistant to say, I don't know, update my calendar or meetings or help me draft some emails like Assi did for us, for instance. So as soon as I give my digital assistant the kind of recipe how to use these tools and also access to those different APIs that they will need to then contact on my behalf, they are able to do that by themselves autonomously. I, of course, at the moment just still keep, they are not completely autonomous yet. So I always say that, okay, please recommend these things to me and don't buy anything yet, but they would be able to buy if I were to, at least the bookings went through quite fine. But I'd say that I wouldn't do maybe a €10,000 investment yet through a machine custom because it is still a trust game. And I'm not sure if I trust the identity solutions so well yet that I would give all my credit card information and my personal identity information to them. But having said that, there's the development is going so fast that I'm just looking forward to the day when my credit card kind of expires. I don't need to go to 40 different websites to update my credit card information because that's a pain. I just did that the other night, so I really don't want to be doing that again myself. Other than those custom GPTs, what I have been looking into is the different multi-agent frameworks that the different providers currently have released. So there's a bunch of those if you're into programming these agents. So OpenAI, of course, has on top of the custom GPTs, they have the API access. So the API assistance for their LLM. And they also have recently come out with something called Swarm, which is for multi-agent programming. Then we have also Microsoft. They have AutoGPT, which is one of their offerings, but they also now push very much this semantic kernel, which is, let's say, it simplifies a lot this agent programming. And of course, every other provider out there, there's also Crew AI, that's the open source kind of version. And Amazon has their Bedrock agents. Anthropic and Google have gone a little bit the other way because they have started to provide this computer use kind of thing where the user sees what the agent is doing because the agent is actually clicking on the screen and opening, you know, browser window. So it's more like a traditional RPA kind of so things like robotic processing, automation through that workflow. But this is really scalable, flexible, and they are able to adapt in real time for the customer needs. The Google thing is called Project Jarvis, and it was just announced that they will be releasing it only in December, so it's not out yet. But there's some, we have some knowledge about it already. It's going to be published with Gemini 2.
Do I understand well? You're speaking about multi-agents. It means yourself are seated with your different agents. You have, let's say, agents with specific skills. If it would be a company with marketing skill, with HR skills, with IT skills, and in this case, you have agents with different skills. One agent can complete one task, and then it can automatically hand over to the next agent that is specific for, I don't know, buying grocery, trained, and then this one try, and the next one do the follow-up. Is that correct?
In a way, yes, you can do it like step-by-step process and then have agents that are kind of, let's say, being tasked or specializing in a specific task, say, doing my bookings from my calendar. So it might be just specialist for that. And then we would have one, like, that's the vision anyhow, that we would have just one agent that would orchestrate everything, everybody else's work around the, and they would, you know, have a huddle between them and decide who does what. And then the orchestrating agent would then see through it that whether or not it's working, the other ones are working properly. But we're not quite there yet. Let's say that this is something that we're just on the brink of surfacing. So it's coming, I would say, within this year. So we are not talking about a very, very long time anymore.
And then let's try to understand that from the other side. Now, you as a customer in this case, you have agents, these are machine customers that are trying to interact together with companies. And let's say we preach for years that it's extremely important to be empathetic and to create and build a relationship. But now, how can companies act or react, because you already have your agents, in order to work with you, in order to have an interaction with you? Sorry, not you personally anymore, mm-hmm. but with your agent. What's your view on that, and how can company act on that?
Well, that's actually a very good question. What companies should do right now is to seize the opportunity, let's say, and start to putting a team really together, like a task force, where people are really thinking outside the box and thinking about the different use cases that, okay, what are the use cases that we want to support for these machine customers, and meaning our human customers as well? Are there maybe perhaps some new use cases that where we could get new revenue streams? So that's a very important phase where brainstorming all of this roadmap that, okay, these are the use cases, prioritized ones that we are going to start experimenting with. These are the ones that we really need to scale up. And so on, so that you really support your customers, because they are just going to go somewhere else if you don't provide them with support for using their machine customers or digital assistants, and your competitors will be sure to provide for these customers. Because nowadays, if I want to buy something, I don't go to, I don't know, 50 different banks to make the kind of different, well, first of all, there's no 50 banks in Finland, but you know what I mean. I don't go to see too many competitors and do these comparisons between services and products offered by different companies. But if I were able to give that as a task to my assistant, and they would then, you know, scour the webs for me, and come instantly with the responses that, okay, these are your best, I don't know, 3 to 5 possibilities, then I would for sure use that to kind of help me negotiating a better loan for myself or whatever. And I think that is really what our company representatives should be discussing now, is that who will be able to create these use cases and then design the relevant customer journeys for the machine customer experiences, so that, you know, having the human customer also still in the loop, it's going to be quite different customer journeys that the machine customers will be taking with or being in interaction with the businesses. So I think that there's a big opportunity there to if we just understand how the way they work. And also, just as an example, take the marketing aspect there. These digital assistants will not be liable to your, I don't know, publicity stunts and stuff like that. They are really there looking after the interests of their human owners, and they're looking for the preferences and whatever priorities they have set for these tasks. And it is a really different playing field out there. Also, as you brought up the empathy part there, I'm really torn between these two worlds, let's say, because I'm very much a proponent of empathy and talking and thinking about the customer experiences from the human perspective. But it is one of our main kind of human characteristics that we want convenience, and machine customers bring convenience to people, because you don't need to anymore take care of those tasks that you don't, you know, want to take care of, and repetitive tasks and repurchases and stuff like that. So at the same time, that's also a very good chance for opportunity for companies, because if you're servicing these machine customers right and you get their business, they will be repeat customers and they will never forget to buy anything from you. But then having that team together, you need to put somebody in charge, because if it's every, you know, the famous quote that if it's everybody's responsibility. It's nobody's responsibility. So somebody needs to run this machine customer experience team so that you get good results. And you might have to recruit new people to have new skills or retrain, upskill your own personnel. But I think that companies can do this, and it's not such a big thing as it might sound in the first place.
You are saying, and I support that, we are, as customer, we are looking for convenience. And there is this also well-known example, I think it's from James Dotkins, that if you move, then you need to change address with 200 companies. And then it would be really good if this machine customer, this digital assistant, would do that for us. And then if you get the feedback that with, I don't know, 119 companies, it worked well, and with the last 10, it didn't work because they were not able to interact with this digital assistant. I think this is also a bad experience for the customers. And we would think in future about interacting or letting our digital assistants interact with these companies.
If you think about it, if you have a machine customer who is doing this task for their whole human owner, looking for the best deals for them, so they are concurrently having these negotiations with a number of companies. And if your company cannot be there for them, and let's say that the customer service CSRs, they are not tooled out and powered by AI to respond to these questions, then it's for sure that the ones that are there to respond quickly and smartly enough for the machine customers will get the business. For instance, from our piece of research, an example where, as I said, we were looking for an investment for €10,000, and the financial institution, they just, you know, sent over a 50-page document that was like full of legalese and all of that, saying that, okay, you can see, you know, these are our contracts, and let's talk and take this to your human owner, and we'll chat with them. But what Assi did instead was that he would instantly ask questions from, you know, the page, I don't know, 38 second paragraph, that you're saying this and that here, that what does it really mean? And like, my human owner wants to know, when I recommend this, that will she get the best deal from you? And, you know, if you don't have the tools at your disposal as a CSR to respond fast on a chat with these things, then you've played yourself out of the game.
Yes, and perhaps thinking one step ahead of what you're saying. And in future, these digital assistants will know a lot about us, and will also know our preferences. And perhaps I'm not going to say, find the best deal for me, but they are going only to close a deal because they already know what our preferences are. And there is also one great example. If I ask to my digital assistant, I need new jeans, I need new shoes, the assistant knows the size, and they will find the shoes or the jeans from the companies that are offering this opportunity to interact with digital assistants. And all the brands that are not there or not able, they will lose business because they are not there anymore.
Yeah, actually, there's a really great example from Klarna's CEO, Sebastian Siemiatkowski. He illustrated this shift, or envisioned this future where you would have your agent deliver you these tailored suggestions and content proactively, that you would just one morning wake up and you would have your agent telling you that they had been looking for and found a better banking deal for you. All you need to do is say yes if you want to switch banks. And that's when they came up with this example, they realized that they have to change the kind of speed with what they're doing, and they kind of shifted their business focus as well. That this is evidently going to be the future. So we need to kind of, if people are going to have these set and forget it kind of models that allows customers then to delegate in decision making to their agents, as you said, this is really something that we need to take into account when we're doing business decisions.
And now we spoke about the near future. Let's speak about the real future. Fast forward, in 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
Oh, that's a good question. I think that in a decade, what we might be talking about is a world where these machine customers are doing autonomously all of these jobs that I'm now saying that could be done independently. And this agentic AR will have become daily life for most of us. I think the Gartner prediction is that in 2025, so next year, 4 out of 10 of us will have experimented with agents. And in 27, about half of us will be on a daily basis using them in industrialized countries, of course. So that is quite a fast pace. Elon Musk, who we all dearly love, he was just predicting that in 2040 there will be 10 billion robots. So I think that we will be in 10 years' time, we will be living in a world where robots are commonplace, where agents are quite common everyday helpers for us, assistants. And I think that it's going to be more about hyper-personalization of C and CX and predictive CX, where, as you said, these agents will be predicting and anticipating our needs and acting on behalf of us. So, yeah, they will be offering to switch services autonomously and so on. We also will be having lots of conversations about responsible AI and how that has turned out, and these ethical frameworks that we need to govern for kind of these autonomous agents. This will still remain a crucial part of our daily discussions, I think. I mean, given the scale and influence that the AI systems will have in the world. And another thing that I think is still going to happen is that we'll be exploring or even using these multi-agent models and AIs. They will have a much more important role in creating this sustainable world, ensuring that AI will benefit society as a whole. I dearly hope that that will happen at least.
I think we also have a topic, or at least two topics, for the next discussion that we will have: ethics in machine customers on both sides, and also this important topic about sustainability. Robots will help us getting better as human beings, but on the other side, they will also playing an important role in sustainability, because they need energy and all these topics. Let's keep this topic for the next discussion. Sirte, what's the best way to contact you?
Through LinkedIn. I'm the only Sirte on LinkedIn, I guess, in the whole world. So if you just type Sirte and then a space, then I will show up for sure. Then if you're interested in our piece of research or agentic AI, you can follow me on LinkedIn or then on our website on machinecustomers.fi or of course sirute.fi/en for the English speaking version of it. So please feel free to contact me. I mentioned this podcast, so I'll know where it comes from.
Thank you very much. And now we are coming to the last question, is the usual question from since I think 200 episodes. Sirte's golden nugget, it's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience?
Well, I think that from our research on the digital assistance experience, what really struck me is how unaware companies are that there is this whole new invisible market out there and how they could benefit from that. The one thing that we asked from as part of our research, we asked also from the agents on the call center agents and the sales people who were then emailed or chatted that Asi had these chats with and was interacting with, that they said that they weren't even aware that they were interacting with machine customer, even though Asi would always upfront tell the people she was having these conversations with, that she was a digital assistant, in fact, and that she was working for this one Aletto family. And she would always refer to her human owners as I'm going to take this to my human for decision making. But this, what I think we proved by this research is that these agents are already able to perform these very high stake tasks. So whether it's negotiating prices or making these bookings, even arranging this financing case, So, and they can do that without human oversight. And the conversations that ASSI would have with all these people, they were like brilliant. The human counterparts, they were not able to say that, okay, this is a machine that I'm talking with, that they were surprised by the fact. So if you fail to recognize machine customers don't want to kind of improve your service level, then you're going to be missing opportunities that might be worth tens of thousands of euros. I mean, the sky's the limit there. So this is really a powerful reminder that these machine customers are not just a hype, kind of science fiction anymore. They are active participants in today's market. And we are really at the beginning of a shift that you don't ever even exist anymore if you can't serve these digital assistants, that this is the new business reality.
Thank you for this wake-up call for all the businesses that are listening to this podcast. This is really a wake-up call. Thank you very much, Sirte, for your time and for your great insights. Please stay with me to the audience for today. It's everything. If you have any questions, any feedback, feel free to contact me or to contact Sirte. You will find all the contact details from Sirte and mine in the show notes below. Thank you very much and have a nice day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.